We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicagoland, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I've had my throat coat tea. I just had some raisin bran, so I'm feeling fibrous. I'm feeling throat forward, and I'm ready to roll. Can I tell you something real quick, Ty?
Please, go ahead. Anything.
I was worried a couple of nights ago. Jody with an I was going to go meet a couple of friends in a backyard. She pulled out of the driveway and said, like, I don't know, this rear left tire feels not right. It's wobbling and loud, and I don't think I should drive. And I looked at it, and indeed, it looked pretty flat.
Okay.
So I said, why don't we deal with this in the morning? And because that's what you should do, Ty.
Sure,
that's what happens.
Just kick the can.
Suburbia.
Seems
kick the can down the road. And so we have a gas station with a service station attached to it, maybe 63 seconds away driving. So I said, you know what? Why don't I take this car? It's not fully flat. Why don't I take it over and try to put in some air? And we'll make a decision from there about where to go to change a tire, get whatever looked at. And drove that 63 seconds, which was more like 79 seconds. Pretty harrowing.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going to happen.
Is this a giant drawn out metaphor for the 2020 college football season?
It is in its own way, Ty. It is in its own way where you're pulling out of the street. You're like, ooh, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best here. I'm hoping this drive can be completed, but unclear about what's going to happen these next few hundred yards. And so we made it. I was able to change the tire with the help of an attendant, and there's a spare on there right now. I'm going to go get a new tire later tonight or tomorrow morning. So the moral of this story is, I don't know. Don't trust me with your cars.
Yeah.
I'm a dumb New Yorker for the last 9 years or so, and I'm reacclimating to proper society.
Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're back here to record. And look, I'm glad everyone out there is joining us as well. We are back here to record. It is the so-called start to another college football season, albeit a very, very weird and strange and quirky one here in 2020.
Yeah.
With the obvious backdrop of the coronavirus pandemic, we're going to do our part to get through game previews, to get through a season, to do what we can to stay engaged with the college football ether. We all know that this is weird, and there's going to be about 1,000 disclaimers as we go through previewing these football games. But you know what, Dan? It's football. We're going to do our best to get through it. I'm excited to be here with you talking in front of our tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of Verballers out there. So let's just do what we know how to do, man.
Okay. I can do that. You want to talk about news? You want to talk about previews? You're leading this ship here.
I am. Before we get into news, don't forget to subscribe. We'll be here all season long. Wherever you get a podcast, you can find The Solid Verbal. If you need more clarity, going out to solidverbal.com, you're going to find our links in the upper right-hand corner. You can also follow along some of Dan's handiwork if you go on out to our social media accounts. We've got, what, an Instagram, Facebook, the Twitter. Yeah. Are we doing reels yet on IG? We doing those?
Yeah, we are. We are doing reels. And okay. I got to tell you, I did not understand what TikTok was, because that's apparently what reels is on Instagram. I'm kind of all in.
Really? Just like that?
I get it now. I get it. Yeah, you essentially just, you have 15 seconds to turn yourself into a meme or do your version of a meme. I get it. I don't always love it, but I get it.
You get it. All right. We're on there to sign up for the newsletter at solidverbal.com. We'll be sending that out periodically. You've got some exciting stuff coming out here in the next few days, as I've been teasing for the last 3 months. And solidverbal.reddit.com. You want to join in on the fun, if you want to team up with other verballers who are out there talking about all of our episodes, you can find it there. Oh, and if you like the show, 5-star reviews, not necessary, but very much appreciated now as we try to build some momentum here going into the new season.
Yes, absolutely. And there are, I can't even count how many things I'm extremely excited for this upcoming 2020 college football season, whatever shape and face it takes. So I don't want to be too wishy-washy. I don't want to be too like, well, you know, if everything, I am excited. I'm going to try to focus on the excitement that resides inside my brain. That's what I'm telling you right now.
Focus, Dan. Just for every ounce of you, I want you to focus on that. Okay.
Lasers.
Laser focus. Let's get to news. Okay. We have breaking news.
Yeah. Do it. Boop, 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 boop.
That is the most exciting possible introduction to announce that the Tulsa-Oklahoma State game has been delayed by 1 week.
Okay. Well, hope everything gets situated. There's been a couple. We had the SMU-TCU one before. I saw Temple Navy has been postponed as well for a little bit. So this is not going to be unusual for the fall, but hope it buys schools enough time to get things sorted out and people into and out of quarantine.
This is going to be really frustrating for us.
Oh, selfishly, yeah.
Selfishly speaking, it will be incredibly frustrating to try and put together a slate of games that we're going to preview only to have it change. This is one of the many disclaimers that I'm going to give on this show. Okay. Everything, and I do mean everything, is subject to change between recording and the time you are listening to it before, presumably Saturday. Just keep that in mind. Please commit that to memory, because all we can do is the best we can with these schedules that we've got in front of us here. And we've already had a couple that are postponed. So more to come on that one. We'll talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma next week. The point spread was around 21.5. More to come.
Yes. I mean, so it's less Heisman caliber running back for the moment. That's all it is right now.
Correct. Elsewhere, we've got the number 2 rated NFL draft prospect opting out of his, I guess, spring season, Dan. Your boy, Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
Said he's not playing. Does that surprise you at all?
No. He was a no-brainer top offensive lineman in this year's draft. And so with what he already has accomplished, he started from day one at left tackle at Oregon and won the Outland Trophy last year. So in terms of proving his ability and his value for the next level, it was done deal that he was a product ready for the next level just when the timing was right. And so it feels like the right move, and I'm sad to see him go, but I feel like he's going to succeed at the next level. So happy to see what he does.
Speaking of draft prospects, we've got Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback, coming out, releasing a 2-page statement on Twitter on behalf of college football fans in what he called for, quote, actionable steps to be taken to effect change related to racial injustices and systemic inequities. In the statement, Trevor Lawrence laid out a 5-point plan of action to be implemented, centering around voting access, racial equality initiatives, and community outreach opportunities. This is one of the things that I know we've discussed here about Trevor Lawrence and how him and college football players as a whole finding their collective voice to not only speak out on behalf of student athlete rights, but also some of these injustices around the sport. I don't know. I just feel like this is going to be one of those things that has a longer lasting impact than just the scope of this weird 2020 season.
Yeah, I really hope so. And I don't know if it can be overstated that Trevor Lawrence might be the most famous college football player at this point. He's played in multiple national championships, came in as the number one overall quarterback recruit, whatever, a couple years ago. And this isn't, and all due respect to Alan Bowman or Lane Hatcher or Chase Garbers or whoever, this is the guy with the biggest platform, arguably, even though Clemson's not the biggest school, in a place that can be divisive in the South. And so I tip my cap to Trevor Lawrence for going to bat for college football players, for issues that matter to college football players, past, present, and future. And I hope a ton of good comes from this, because he's not somebody with a lot to, I mean, he is somebody with a lot to lose. You know, whatever stance he takes probably isn't affecting, stance he does or doesn't take isn't affecting his future, but he's putting himself out there in a really admirable way. So again, tip of the cap. And, you know, everything was, I think, founded in reality, and really hope that he can be a part of affected change.
For sure. Elsewhere in college football, Southern Miss coach Jay Hobson resigned one game into the season. He went to his athletic director, Jeremy McClain. It was announced on Monday. Co-offensive coordinator Scotty Walden is going to be taking over the interim reins of the Golden Eagles, Dan. So they lost to South Alabama in their first game this year, and he decided it wasn't for him. And now Scotty Walden takes over.
Yeah, Hobson was already sort of in a weird territory with the Art Briles situation from earlier on at Southern Miss and his relationship with the president. And Nicole Auerbach broke a story about some of his recruiting practices or malpractices. So it did seem like this was not a long-term situation for Jay Hobson, or between Jay Hobson and Southern Miss. And so good local talent area. I think the Southern Miss job is actually pretty good as a G5 job. I have read about some investment or lack thereof at the school, so hopefully they can get that turned around if they are indeed trying to build something big with football. So excited to see, because Southern Miss has, as we saw, you know, during the Todd Monken era, they can win some games. They can score some points. There's available talent there.
You ever see an actual Golden Eagle? Like in the wild?
I don't believe so. No. Have you?
Magnificent bird. Yeah.
Would you say a top five bird? Because you're kind of into birds. Is that one of your top five?
Easy top five. Yeah.
Oh. And anything else surprising, unusual in your top five?
Let me think about that. I'm a big duck guy. Like ducks.
Big duck guy.
Not the Oregon ducks per se, but.
You like a mallard.
Yeah. We'll talk about buffleheads a little later. All right.
Oh, I'm excited. What a tease. Later.
Talk about that a little bit later. Hey, let's talk about some games, can we?
I would love to.
We had two that I just wanted to highlight here. Army won 42-0 over Middle Tennessee State. This game was a train wreck for Middle Tennessee State. They looked like they were out there flailing, didn't know which end was up. And then the game yesterday between BYU and Navy, BYU won 55-3.
Guess who just got murdered?
They outgained Navy 580-149. So we've seen a couple games like this in the early going now. If it's any indication of what's coming down the stretch here, could be a lot of rust in the first couple weeks of the season.
I'm wondering if that has maybe more to do with passing games, because obviously BYU ran roughshod over Navy, over, around, through, under, whatever, you name it, BYU was running it. So they weren't doing too many complicated things, it seemed. I was going back and forth with this game because the ESPN graphics. I've been saying on social media, I got to get over it.
You're really having a hard time with this, aren't you?
They're so bad. But it didn't seem like they were doing a ton through the air. Zach Wilson was accurate, but why would you throw it if you can run it? So I'm interested to see whether this very strange offseason gives an advantage to Teams with incumbent coordinators, really nice, strong running games, maybe returning offensive linemen, because some of the schools that rely on the pass, perhaps disproportionately so, had some moments of struggle and separation in situations where they should have. SMU couldn't, I mean, they went ultra conservative, couldn't pull away from Texas State. We saw Memphis have, you know, starts and stops against Arkansas State. And so, and that's also without Memphis's star running back, Kenny Gainwell, who opted out of the season. So I'm curious to see, and as we preview games, that might be something to consider, that running games may be out noticeably ahead of passing games.
Okay, well, with that as the backdrop.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Mr. Rubenstein, for this wild, wild ride of the 2020 season?
I'm ready.
Dan, Ty, help. I need picks of the week.
Welcome to week two?
Oh,
maybe?
Sure. Yeah. Welcome to week.
Welcome to week X.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bear with us. Postponements, positive tests, and all the like. If you're thinking of betting on any of these games, maybe wait until kickoff to do that, because we don't know if any of these games are going to be played right now. It's part of the disclaimer here. It's also part two of the disclaimer in that a lot of these point spreads, and I don't even know how you make point spreads right now, frankly, but a lot of this stuff is very much up in the air, and I just got to get that on the record, okay?
Yeah,
we had a really hard time organizing for this show.
Yeah, we're working with our game previews under the assumption, and I mean, we can peel it back as far as we possibly can without getting in trouble from the FCC or whoever the hell governs this. We record generally, I mean, right now it's 3:20 Central Time, 4:20 Eastern Time on Tuesday. So assume that we are working with Tuesday afternoon evening news for our weekly previews, and we can update any sort of reactions on Instagram or Twitter. So follow us there if there's something major that breaks between now and then. And listen, we're building out some video stuff, Ty. So we'll have updated stuff. But yes, we are working under the assumption that players are playing.
And if a game, if a game gets canceled, we're just going to act as if it happened and make up the result.
Correct. We are standing by our previews and declaring them wrong or right on Sunday mornings.
So what we would do normally as we're going through a weekly slate is look at all the games. We'd pull out the headliners. We'd give them the most love. This week, I think the headliner is truly just that we have football. So we're going to go through every game. We're going to talk about the ones that are most interesting to us. For some of these, we're obviously going to have more to talk about than others, but we're just going to do our part to recognize the ones that are being played. Also, I'm going to call out some fantasy things that maybe we can look for, because I'm just a little sad that we couldn't do our live shows.
Yeah, I've got a couple here as well.
All right, let's start at high noon on Saturday. Syracuse on the road at number 18, North Carolina. Carolina, a 22-point favorite. This game on the ACC network. One interesting tidbit about this game, it has nothing to do with the game, but I'm on a text thread right now with a bunch of friends. I suppose a lot of our listeners are on a similar thread where, like, it's a bunch of Big Ten fans, and in our case, it's Penn State not playing. Who should we root for? What do we do now? What is the protocol? My suggestion was North Carolina, because this team is going to be fun as hell on offense. They're getting better on defense. They got a coach that everybody likes. They're going to be a dog in a couple games if you don't want to feel like a front runner.
Sure.
Why not come to the altar, Dan, and worship at the feet of the one true God in college football, Chaz Surratt?
What is with you and Chaz with Chuckle Surratt? Okay.
Chester, like, after whom all Charlies and Charleses will now be renamed Chaz for this season only.
I'm good with that. We've had Daz. We have a Daz. We've got a Chaz. I'm great with it.
We have a Diami.
Mm-hmm. I think North Carolina is a likable team. They're going in the right direction. We can talk about this game in the context of the Syracuse Orange, who seem to actually have an offensive line that's healthy, I think, after last year's kind of nightmare along the line of scrimmage. First of all, North Carolina opened with a tight win last year in Sam Howell's first game as a starter. Understandable over South Carolina. I think that was a game Jake Bentley got hurt in. Syracuse comfortably shut out Liberty in their opener last year. The interesting thing to me about this game is Syracuse's new defense. Can they give Sam Howell a touch of confusion? Make him think about things for an extra second, running that 3-3-5. A lot of new faces, though. The secondary was, I think it's fine. It's experienced. We'll see if that gets exploited over four quarters. And North Carolina can run the ball, back to what I sort of talked about earlier, like that maybe a running game is more of an advantage than usual with a very arrhythmic 2020 offseason. So here's where I land with this and where I'm going to land with a lot of these games. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to grab the points. Syracuse doesn't have the depth, doesn't have the talent that North Carolina has, but this is essentially as deep as they'll be all season. And week one is the week where nobody ever really is what they will become. And I think that's a good time for Syracuse to be getting North Carolina. Whereas in week five, this could be a nightmare of an offense. So, yeah, I think North Carolina wins by a couple touchdowns, but Syracuse keeps it relatively competitive.
In general, if you're in a pick 'em pool against the spread, or even if you want to throw a few shekels down on the games, I think taking the points this year is going to be at a premium. I really do.
Sure.
And maybe at some point Vegas will catch on and then that will affect things in the other direction. But just so much uncertainty. You know, the last time these two teams played in Syracuse, I guess 2 years ago, it was a pretty wild game, 42-37. That was amid a really good season by Syracuse. Last year, not so much. They're installing this new defense, which worries me, going up against an offense that brings a lot back. Would you have understood the pun if I said that the Sam Howell, Daz Newsome, De'Ami Brown triumvirate is the original research triangle for North Carolina? Would that have made any sense?
I know what the research triangle is. Yeah. It's the three towns. It's what? Raleigh, Winston-Salem. What's the third? That means Durham, right?
I don't know. I'm just wondering if that would have...
triangle. I know what the research triangle is, yeah.
But if I loaded that up in the pun gun and just fired it up and fired it out without telling you, would that have been funny or no?
Oh, man. Judging from what I anticipate the reaction will be from the listeners right now.
The answer's no.
Not fully. No.
I'm a little rusty, too.
Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill. The 9-county region officially named the Raleigh-Durham-Cary Combined Statistical Area. But it's Raleigh-Durham and Chapel Hill.
All right. Give me the points here. You're taking points as well. We both think that UNC is going to win the game, though.
Yeah. A Tommy DeVito situation.
Tommy DeVito, right.
Yeah.
Also at high noon, Louisiana on the road at number 23, Iowa State. The point spread here is 11.5. This game's on ESPN. Originally, they were going to have fans at this one, Dan, but then they nixed that plan just a few days after they announced it, I guess 1 week ago on Monday. A lot of folks are going to look at this point spread and be very confused because it feels like Iowa State's been good the last couple seasons. They should be a bigger favorite, right?
Sure. Well,
Louisiana and Billy Napier won 11 games last year. This is a good football team. They've got a good offense with a sweet lefty quarterback, which we love. A lot of guys
named
back.
Levi, right?
Levi, that's right.
Yeah.
A lot of guys back on both sides of the football. So I would not sleep on Louisiana here. I'm really interested in the matchup, especially with Iowa State's defense, because that defense could be one of the best in the Big 12. That interesting matchup to me is in this game between the offense and the defense. Not sure how I feel about Louisiana scoring on Iowa State, but I think that push-pull, at least in that one side of the ball, should be enough to keep this one relatively close for a good chunk of the way.
Yeah, and if you'll remember, Iowa State with a disastrous start last year, I think it was Northern Iowa, where I think it was 18-16, something not expected as a final result. Also, something between these two schools, common opponent last year. Louisiana, I guess the Ragin' Cajuns, Louisiana Lafayette, I don't know what, I can never remember, but Louisiana edged out Louisiana Monroe, the Warhawks, by 1 point in the battle on the bayou, I believe.
Right.
Iowa State played Louisiana Monroe and beat them by 52. Okay. Which you never see that in terms of like good teams each having a common opponent and that sort of stark difference in outcome. But you throw out those records in a rivalry game, Ty. Everybody knows this.
Sure.
Louisiana loses their defensive coordinator to Baylor, well-regarded Ron Roberts. Interested to see if Iowa State can run it any better than they were able to do consistently last year. I know Breece Hall ran it well against Oklahoma, but they weren't great on the ground, and that's where Louisiana, I think, is more vulnerable. So I think that's an interesting matchup. I'm going to take the Clones by a touchdown. I think we have a slow starter of a season once again, but they managed to win this game, so I'm going to take the points once again.
We agree once more. Ultimately, this is a game won by Breece Hall and Brock Purdy taking advantages of mismatches at tight end with Chase Allen and big Chaz Kohler.
Okay. Yeah, they've got some good tight ends. I also like guys on the defense. Levi Lewis last year against conference opponents finished, I think, in like number 24 in the country in terms of pass efficiency and overall finished, like top 20. So, yeah. You know, we've got, he can play.
We agree. Okay.
We agree.
So here's where it gets weird because I don't have a point spread for Eastern Kentucky at West Virginia.
So just give me something you want to see from West Virginia to make yourself like they should at least be doing this against a not terrific Eastern Kentucky squad.
They should be getting more out of their running game.
Yeah, they got to run the ball against EKU for sure.
Jared Daigie is back at quarterback and they've got a bunch of guys who are returning at the skill positions, including Letty Brown. Great name. His running back, and then three sophomores out wide and Sam James and Bryce Ford Wheaton, Winston Wright Jr., name I love, TJ Simmons going to be back in the slot. So I look to see the offense as a whole improve. I think they got a nice little surge out of Daigie when he came in towards the latter half of last season. But if I'm focused on one thing here, I think they win. But if I'm focused on any one thing in this game and moving forward, it's going to be that running game.
Yeah, they lost 59-0 last week, Eastern Kentucky, to Marshall. Last year, they lost 42-0 early on to Louisville on the road. And they had an okay season. I think they ended up winning 6 or 7 games. But yeah, let's just see an impressive West Virginia when they really, really should be. That's all I have.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Moving on, 2:30 on NBC. Let's play it. Get that old NBC theme music going for Duke at number 10, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 20-point favorite here, Dan. Wait for the guitar. There it is. 20-point favorite. I did the Duke preview last week. I was very skeptical. There is a lot coming back for them, though. And I do
is
really
that
like...
good?
I do really... shut up. I do really like the defense. They got killed by Notre Dame last year.
Yeah, they lost by 31.
38-7.
Yeah.
Now they're on the road, new quarterback, Chase Bryce coming up from Clemson. Like, there's a lot of push-pull there. On one hand, I like that there's a lot coming back. On the other, I don't like anybody on the road opening week, especially amid circumstances, especially against a good team that's going to control the trenches. And throw on top of that a new quarterback, like too many factors. This would be a game where I would consider laying the point.
Yeah, Duke's offense was nightmare bad last year. This is a new year. This is a new situation, but they didn't score 30 points in the second half of the season once. Now we can say, well, maybe Chase Bryce will make a difference. I suspect he will not. That is my suspicion. Interested for Notre Dame to see who steps into bigger roles, especially out wide. You mentioned a number of the names in our ACC preview about guys who could step into the sort of Cole Kmet, Chase Claypool. That's who Ian Book tended to lean on last year, right?
Yes.
Big moments, downfield stuff. So interested to see who steps into those roles, I suppose, and who really takes control in the backfield running the ball. And if they're a team that, with continuity on the coaching staff, even though they have a new offensive coordinator, they promoted from within with Tommy Reese. Is Ian Book an exception to the rule of it's going to take some rhythm in this very made-up scenario that I have in my mind? I hope so, because it'd be nice to have a Notre Dame team come through against a Power 5 opponent and set the stage early on for that Clemson game.
Speaking of Notre Dame,
I have Notre Dame covering here, by the way.
Okay. I'm going to take points because I always take points against Notre Dame. But
okay,
speaking of the Irish, when I did the Notre Dame preview a week ago, boy howdy, did I whiff on like 8 fronts.
Yeah, what's going on with you?
There's a lot going on, man.
I know, but this is Notre Dame's your team.
I know. It was bad. It was bad. But I would say get used to new starting running backs, Kyren Williams and Chris Tyree. They're 1 and 2 in the first depth chart that was released, and your wideouts, at least for the moment, are going to be Bennett Skowronek, Braden Lindsey, and Lawrence Keys III.
Larry Keys.
I like Notre Dame to win. I'll take points because they always take points here, but Notre Dame's in a good spot. They could control both sides of the line. That should be to their strength this season, and they also have a lot of veteran leadership coming back, which I think amid everything, like maybe they're installing a quasi new offense. Now that Tommy Rezus is on hand to save us all, I think by and large, their veteran leadership should get them through a lot of that rusty stuff that we're going to see folks dealing with around college football.
So, and Lou Holtz just received the Medal of Freedom.
Oh,
so the universe great. Smiling down on Notre Dame.
Great. Okay. Moving on. 3:30. Georgia Tech at Florida State on ABC. 12.5 points the favorite are the Noles. So this is a game. This game here, this one between two Power 5 teams, I think is the one that I am the most interested in.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you feel about this one?
Well, I definitely think, and I don't know if you have the sound at the ready, but Georgia Tech for sure, both this week and for the rest of the season, hopefully has some ACC toilet snake potential. Thank you.
Go on.
They were pretty quick on that. Okay. Mostly because of their defense. Their defense was not terrible in year one, which was to be expected given Jeff Collins's background developing or helping to develop defenses and identifying defensive coaching talent. Florida State is not great, but they should score points. There's enough talent on that offense. The offensive line, I know, has been a disaster these past few years. I'm going out on a limb here. I think they can go from disaster to below average by the time the season completes. They should be able to score points to me. So it's hard for me to see Georgia Tech keeping up. So I have Florida State barely covering. You said it was about a 12-point spread?
12.5.
Okay, so I have them winning by a couple touchdowns, something like 34 to 17, 20, somewhere in there.
So you're taking Florida State to cover?
Yeah, I'm going to give those points. Yeah, I am.
Interesting.
Georgia Tech is still not good, and I actually have a fantasy thing tied to Georgia Tech. I don't know if you want to get into that now.
Oh, I do. I do. But let me just throw this out there.
Please.
Tech brings just about everybody back on defense.
Yep.
And we know that that's where Jeff Collins really thrives. I don't know if they'll be thriving in week two of a COVID-adjusted season, but I do think we'll see market improvement on that side of the football for tech. I would also posit that Florida State in their first depth chart is very young. Very young. The reaction over at Tomahawk Nation was basically that it doesn't matter who you are, what you did last season, you got to come to play and earn it, which is, speaking of fantasy things, a very, very new coach thing to do to earn your spot. But I'm actually going to go opposite side here. I think Florida State's better. They should win this football game. But I'm going to say something like 34-24. I think Tech's able to keep it within the number.
Okay. Interesting. They got destroyed last year, but that's game one of the Jeff Collins era by Clemson. That's Clemson. That's not Florida State. The fantasy thing I was going to talk about is a second-year coach, not a first-year coach, looking back on the first year. And this sort of falls in line with the strength coach fantasy thing from way back when, where the strength coach says, I don't know what they were doing last year.
Right.
I don't know what was going on. There is that element to second-year coaches writing off year one of like, we were just learning how to crawl. And now it's time to walk. We barely cracked open our playbook. We had to reteach them football. Right. And I saw that from, I think, Scott Satterfield and talking about the playbook and how we just had to start from square. They didn't know how to eat bread. And now year two is when, okay, they've learned how to eat bread. And we're opening up that playbook in earnest.
Is this an official selection? Do I need to play the chime?
You should play the chime.
Okay.
So writing off year two coach. Yeah.
Writing off year one as like, you know, just part of the process.
We were just trying to put one foot in front of the other. Yeah. There's a lot of that from year two coaches right now. And that's fine. I probably would say the same thing if I were a year two coach.
Yeah. So, the other one that I kind of panned over was coaches, quote, installing a new system.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when it's referred to as installing a new system.
Of course.
That's a favorite.
That's what
of mine.
It's called. I mean, it's installation. That's the term.
3:30 on FS1, Arkansas State, the Red Wolves on the road at K-State. K-State's a 10.5-point favorite here. Arkansas State has played a game already.
Yes, they have.
37-24, they lost on the road at Memphis. It feels like this is a game where it's weirdly close the whole way, does it not?
Yeah, I watched Kansas State's offense the back end of last year. I know they returned Skylar Thompson for the 43rd straight season, but there are a couple of potential dudes, but I think they have a problem, as I've mentioned before, that they don't have enough dudes with the ball who are legit problems to really make a mark in the Big 12 right now. Eventually, I think they probably will. But Arkansas State doesn't necessarily have that, but they've got a good experienced quarterback. Lane Hatcher lit it up, did a really nice job as a freshman last year. They popped some big plays, and Kansas State gave up a bunch of those last year through the air. So I don't know if that's a meaningful matchup because Kansas State still has a talent advantage here. But Kansas State's new along the offensive line, somewhat new along the defensive line and in the secondary. I think you're right. I think we agree. I think Kansas State pulls this out, but I'm just wagering with the weird. So yeah, give me K-State by 5.
Here's the thing about this game. I have no real level of analysis to provide. There's nothing I could say here that would illuminate the discussion.
Okay.
But much the way,
but
I'm going to talk anyway because it's my show.
Ignore everything but after the but. Yeah.
That's correct. But I'm going to talk anyway because it's my show.
Yeah.
Much the way that I rely on the occult forces of who wants to play this bowl game more when it comes to bowl seasons and bowl picks. I'm looking at this game and I'm just going to say Arkansas State has less rust right now. They've played a game. We know that they can play offense. K-State, we expected a step back season. Right? I mean, this was pretty common knowledge when we went through the previews.
Oh, you're talking about year two, K-State, you know, and losing what they've lost and also losing a defensive coordinator that, you know, they're not tailor-made to make a leap in year two.
I like Chris Klieman, but I think they are prone to a step back season.
Okay.
So 10.5 points. I think they win, but I think it's like a 4-point win.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-point win here. Okay. So I'm going to take Arkansas State, the Red Wolves.
Red Wolves.
Cover. Moving on. 4 p.m. Speaking of teams that played already, we've got Austin Peay at Pitt on ACC Network. Bit of a different circumstance here because Pitt's got a really good defense, like maybe one of the top three or four defenses in all the ACC. Very, very good. Took a while to get there under Pat Narduzzi, but I think it's there. The question that I have is how much can Austin Peay really score? Like, Pitt's going to win this game, but to what degree is the Pitt defense going to show up and lock down?
I don't have a lot of thoughts about this game, Ty. I just don't. Jalen Twyman's not playing because he opted out of the season, and he was looking like he is a special player for the Pitt defense. I don't have a lot of thoughts. I'd like to see some impressive work from the Pitt offense if I'm going to feel decently about the Panthers this season.
Speaking of fantasy things, can I just on a whim draft
Please.
Pat Narduzzi wearing his mask incorrectly?
Oh, that's a great candidate. Yeah, yeah. He is. He has it on his nose, but not his mouth. He has it on his mouth, but not his nose. It's upside down. It has a Pitt logo, but it's upside down. I mean, I have a number of mask fantasy things if you really want to dive deep right now, because I don't have a lot to say about what's the governors of Austin Peay.
Right.
Announcers awkwardly fumbling over and phrasing unavailable players due to COVID.
Yeah, that's I think gonna that's going to happen. I mean, it's already happened on this show. So.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely has.
Yeah.
Creative mask messaging on the sidelines. Maybe a Reggie Bush area code. Maybe messages a la Jeff Hornacek to loved ones. Maybe unapproved corporate logos. Random players wearing a Panera mask.
Political messages, right?
Political messaging that's not been necessarily approved by the school. Turnover masks, Ty. Come on. I saw Manny Diaz talking about turnover masks. What
really?
About a turnover partition? Yeah. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. But I think we're going to have some weird situations. I have TV catching fans not abiding by mask and distance regulations and announcers awkwardly joking before realizing they should apologize about joking about stuff like we're doing right now.
Right.
I have that down there. A team surprisingly rises from a cancellation list. Like, we wake up and BYU has scheduled Cal due to some technicality. Cal is now randomly playing. Somebody sneaking in an amazing cardboard cutout. I don't know if that's purchasing or just bringing in, if there's like a half and half situation, a combo situation of in-person fans and cutouts and random places. Those are my big ones right now that I'm looking forward to this year.
All right. Yeah, those are pretty good.
Yeah.
I do think that
turnover partition.
Turnover. I don't know what that means, but I like the way
Same.
It sounds.
Yeah.
I think the broadcast element this season is going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were probably a year or two early on your selection of a sudden broadcast catastrophe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to have guys who are broadcasting remotely more than ever. Yeah.
We're going to have somebody, I don't know what the broadcast situation is. I think it varies by networks and region, whatever. We'll probably have a situation like Adam Amin unintentionally had, where Mac Brown just left the booth in the fourth quarter a few years ago.
Yeah.
We'll have a situation where, I don't know what they'll do. Are they going to use backup play-by-play guys, gals, if somebody tests positive the day before, somebody local, or
you're talking about the announcers testing positive.
I'm talking about the announcers testing positive.
Oh, wow.
If they're traveling to games and they test positive at the hotel.
Wow.
Because
good call.
When the Tom Brenneman thing happened with the Cincinnati Reds, and that wasn't a health thing, but they had a backup announcer ready. I don't know if he was the radio guy. I don't know if he was a minor league guy that happened to be there. But what's going to happen? Is somebody just going to be dialing in remotely all of a sudden? I think it's going to be interesting.
All right.
Like, Adam Amin's calling the NFL. What if Adam is called upon on a random Friday morning because another Fox person can't call the game and now Adam's calling it remotely? I think it's all on the table.
Okay. Well, more fantasy things to come. And we hope everybody stays healthy.
Please. No, our fingers are crossed that everybody's safe and practicing safe things for sure.
For those new listeners to the show, we do a thing called the Window of Opportunity. We like to play the old Windows 2000 sound to signify that. But basically, the way it works in normal circumstances is we look at the full slate of games in a given week. And then we pick out the moments where you can go out and be a normal human being. If you've got an errand you need to run, or if something with your significant other can't wait, and you need to schedule it appropriately so that you can do what you got to do, but at the same time, not miss the bulk or the story or the theme of a given college football week. That's the window of opportunity. You could argue that the whole season this year is a bit of a window of opportunity. I'm not going to go there with this.
Well, as an Oregon fan, I'm listening.
I think as it relates to this specific college football week, anything in the nightcap qualifies as window of opportunity. I'm looking at a bunch of games that are going to be incredible blowouts here, Dan.
Yeah, it's just not that they're going to be blowouts. It's that we don't have two interesting teams playing. I have a good amount of interest in Western Kentucky, Louisville.
Oh, so do I.
I think that's it's not interesting because I think the outcome is necessarily in doubt, but because Western Kentucky, last seen as the team who, I think it was, people looked at it as funny when they beat Arkansas, but Hilltoppers are good. Hilltoppers are a good team. They made a really nice defensive jump last year. And I think they now start Tyrell Pigram, Maryland transfer at quarterback. Learned his nickname is Piggy T, which I'm all in.
Okay.
That's the one exception to me, also because I get to see McHale.
McHale! Yeah.
McHale!
By the way.
Yeah.
Lock of the week.
8 p.m. Western Kentucky on the road at Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville's a 12-point home favorite on ACC Network. His team's played last year. Louisville won by a 17-point margin after being up 24 at half.
Yeah.
12 points is far too few. I don't care how good Western is. I don't care if Piggy T is their quarterback. I am riding with McHale Cunningham and the boys. Louisville's got a ton coming back. I think they're going to be loaded for bear here, and I think they're going to win by at least two touchdowns over Western. So first lock of the year, Louisville minus 12. Give it to me.
All right. I mean, another team that depended on the pass a lot. So if that's somewhere you're falling, that this is going to be a slow start for teams that pass the ball around and depend on passing yardage for success, though, Javian Hawkins, really good at running back. I think I agree with that because I think the best player on the field is McHale and can affect so much. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with eventual cover, but a scare for 2.5 quarters.
So you're not going double barrel lock of the week. You're
just
going to go.
No, Piggy T is a name that's too fun to say for me to pick against them enthusiastically.
Some other games in the nightcap here. We've got at 7 p.m. Missouri State at Oklahoma. At 7:30, we've got number one Clemson, a 33-point road favorite at Wake Forest. That one's on ABC. At 8 p.m., we've got UTEP at Texas. Texas is somehow a 43-point favorite, which is a really big number on a week where there aren't that many big numbers. That one's on Longhorn Network. 8 p.m. also, we've got Houston Baptist at Texas Tech on ESPN+. And then the late game, for those of you folks out there with insomnia, Coastal Carolina at Kansas. Kansas is a 7-point home favorite, 10 p.m. Eastern on FS1, Dan. Any of those games of particular interest to you?
Well, we got Bobby Petrino back in the mix. He's at back, Missouri baby. State. Bobby Petrino being back. Nothing moves the needle too dramatically for me of these games. I hope Texas Tech stays healthy on offense. I hope we get to see some big new names from Texas worked into both sides of the ball. They've recruited pretty well on both sides. And I hope Kansas doesn't lose to Coastal Carolina. That'd be a bummer. More or less Miles ranting about China to come, perhaps, if that happens.
Great.
Yeah, let's just hope Kansas wins.
I got to say that Kansas game, originally when I jotted down the point spread, it was 3.5. And I'm looking at it thinking, ooh, what does Vegas know about this game that I should know? Other than the fact that it's Kansas playing. What do they know about this game to make it a field goal? And then I checked back, and now it's up to 7, and I can't get out of my head that it used to be 3.5.
You could have bought a beach house, Ty.
I know.
You could have had yourself a beach house.
On coastal Carolina, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm really conflicted here. I will go Kansas. I will go Les Miles.
I'm not even going to pretend to give you a reason for this game. Yeah.
How do you feel about the Thursday game?
It's been a long time since I've been able to watch Derek King play football. So I'm excited about that.
We generally will do the Thursday game last because we dropped this show early on a Wednesday and only a small percentage of people will have an opportunity to listen before kickoff. But it's UAB on the road at Miami. Miami about a 2-touchdown favorite. Thursday, 8 p.m. on the ACC network. I am excited to see Derek King. This is another one where the line seems kind of low, but I'm just so wishy-washy on any kind of point spread right now, outside of the Louisville game, of course.
Sure.
But Derek King out there, the Miami defense, another year under Manny Diaz, new offense that will get a chance to test the mettle of Rhett Lashley, your boy. You know you love Rhett Lashley.
Okay.
So, Miami wins this game. Point spread kind of goes out the window a little bit, but Thursday night will be fun to watch college football for sure.
Blazers almost assuredly had the number one Conference USA defense last year. This is a bowl caliber team. This is not a nothing team. So we could have some entertaining football Thursday night. I'm good with that. They won, 9 games last year, UAB?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Then the only other games that I have here, just to be complete and mention the other three, we've got Charlotte at App State, Saturday high noon on ESPN2, App State, a healthy favorite there by 17. We've got Citadel at USF at 1 p.m. on ESPN+. And then at 1:30, we've got Louisiana Monroe on the road at Army. Army, a 17-point favorite, that one on CBS Sports Network, Dan.
Tyler, you do me a favor.
Yes, please.
I have looked up the future schedules of the Patriot League. So sad.
We might need to come up with a new bit now that we can't do Drum and Fife.
I will not put Drum and Fife on another conference.
I know. I'm saying we need a new bit, entirely new bit.
I know. All right. We'll review some things. We'll do like Delaware high school football. if they haven't canceled. Yeah, we'll come up with something. But man, miss you, Colgate. Miss you, Fordham. Miss you, Georgetown. Ugh, we'll be together again soon.
Please do write in. We are open-minded. Suggestions are welcome for how we can approach this now. But there's a gaping hole at the end of the podcast where we would typically play this. Brings a tear to my eye.
They're playing football in Alaska, high school football in Alaska, if you want to get super into it.
We need to put our heads together. We should have been more prepared.
Yeah, we should have. Yeah.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com is the email. Write in, let us know what we should do here.
You taking West Valley or North Pole?
Got to go North Pole, right?
I go West Valley because I'm from the West Valley.
I'm from Northampton.
You are from, so we disagree. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, write in, again, SolidVerbal@gmail.com and call in 408-VERBAL-1. That is our reverb line. Again, that's the reaction line. Call in, leave us a voice message. We will cut those up. We will play them on the Sunday recap show that will drop after the conclusion of week 2, as it were.
Yes.
That's all I got, Dan.
That's all I got. Yeah, same, obviously. Who are you watching games with? Are you cooking anything? What's your watch situation this weekend?
It looks like it's going to be about 75 degrees and sunny on Saturday. I would love to test out some sort of setup outside on the patio.
Great.
I don't know what games we're going to watch, but no, I don't have anything set, but that's just kind of a working idea at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just watching here. Oh, friendly reminder to sign up for the newsletter of intent. The first one's going out this week. The first one's going out this week, and I promise to... We've done shows for 12 years, And we get people emailing all the time. We get a ton of emails. And then I gave out a very basic salsa recipe, and we have been inundated with, what's the recipe again? What do you, I want to make salsa. And so I'll put that very basic salsa recipe in the newsletter of intent this week. I just can't respond to every single person who asks for the recipe, because it has literally been dozens and dozens of people asking for the salsa recipe. So I'll put that in the newsletter of intent. You can sign up at solidverbal.com. Correct, Ty?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So that's going out this week.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to have you with us as we embark on this new season. We will be back when? Friday.
Correct. We have a new theme.
Ooh.
A new weekly theme episode.
Does it start up this week or is it next week?
This week. We're doing it this week.
Oh, okay.
Cancel your plans, Ty.
More to come on that front. As yeah. Dan said, sign up for the newsletter. Subscribe to the podcast for all of our episodes as they become available. And if you want up to the minute updates, you can always subscribe to any of our social media channels.
I would just say for the third show, Ty, because we do our preview and recap show, I'm just telling people, I know they have a limited time in their podcast diet. I'm just going to say, save some space for this one. Wow. How about that?
That's what we call a tease in the business.
Yeah, save some space.
All right. For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for subscribing. Hope you enjoy week one. We will hope you enjoy week two. We will talk to you all soon. In the meantime, stay healthy and stay solid.
Peace.